Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live here at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well, Anthony Mandela producing the show tonight. Today on a throwback Thursday, we will be out here all night long for the Pro Hoops Draft Show. Myself and Ryan Horvath will get things going right at 6 o'clock once we're done here with the Wendy's Big Show, but a jam-packed Wendy's Big Show. Before we get to that, we got Women's World Cup action going on right now. Stevie, I was not able to pull the trigger today. Now you've been against me putting any type of investments the last few months and trying to make me calm down on trying to win some money on this one in our country. So if I'm betting on the Women's World Cup, I feel a little bit better about it. But Sweden today is supposed to be a little bit tougher matchup from what I've heard.
They've been talking crap about U.S. coming into this match.
There we go. Now
they've
talking.
They've been running their mouth about, wow, we beat them in the Olympics, whatever. We're not worried about the U.S. We can beat the U.S. So this will be fun. I mean, France is probably the one team that everybody says will have the biggest,
okay,
the U.S. have the biggest issue with. But Sweden, I think, is running their mouth themselves right into some trouble today. So we'll see how this goes. But Julie Ertz isn't starting, I'm being told, and I'm not quite sure.
Oh, Zach's not going to be happy about that.
I'm not happy about that, and I'm not sure why. So
she plays forward, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean,
okay.
It's...
See, I knew that one.
See, if I for me, I don't know. I mean, the last game they played against Chile, they set, like, their star players for the most part. Figured they didn't need them. They ramped the score the previous game, whatever. We don't want to hear about it again, so we'll just sit them. So now this game, they say, well, we're going to play our best, and now there's no Julie Ertz out there. So I don't know if she's hurt or what happened. They're already up 1-0.
Yeah, three minutes into the game.
Beautiful.
See, now if I would have just went the over, I would have been even happier about that. But it's all good. United States winning any time of the year, we're going to be happy about it here. Matt Velasquez joins us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel coming up at 2:48. We're going to hear from former NBA player, former Buck, former Badger, Marcus Landry. Basketball camp's coming up here in July. Touch base with him about the NBA draft and what this can mean for a player, what it can mean for a team, and what it can mean for a school, as the Wisconsin Badgers as well, slowly but surely, has a nice little alumni in the NBA. Also, Adam McAlvey calms Brewers fans down, or maybe just stokes the fire a little bit at 4:48 when we talk to our Milwaukee baseball insider here on the Wendy's Big Show. Sparky, tonight the Milwaukee Bucks will take center stage. Maybe for some, for others, this is going to be the least interesting draft, I guess is the best way to put it, in years for the Bucks, because really
I
it doesn't
tell you the last time
mean too much.
Like, I mean, we've been doing this draft show, the old version, Mike Maxey and myself, since 2006. I want to say we've been doing it, and got lottery picks, mid first round picks. Those were the good years when they were mid first round outside the lottery. Boy, oh boy, I was like, whew. All right, that's fine.
Go six seed. But now
I mean,
we're talking.
But even if you go back, I mean, you go middle of May. That was that night was a big night for the lottery.
Oh yeah.
Let's see if we can get into the top three. Oh, number one. All right, we're gonna get Andrew Bogut. We're gonna get Marvin Williams. Who are we gonna get? So you've lived through all that. Now you get to a point where okay, it's the 30th overall pick, and immediately I started telling everybody, guys, this player is not going to be on this roster. Whether they draft somebody and stash him overseas and he never makes it over here and gets dealt in another trade 2-3 years down the road, or whether they trade this pick, whatever, this player, whoever they draft, if they get to that point, will not be on this team. And then last night, just like we all figured was going to happen, they moved the pick with Tony Snell to get John Luehr. Woohoo! So you get John Luehr back, who's been here obviously once before, the former mm-hmm. Badger, and you do it mainly for cap reasons, right? It's a financial decision not only for this year but for next year as well because his deal is shorter than Snell's, so it works there. And then you have the option of cutting Luehr like you did Larry Sanders and then stretching out what you owe him, say over 3 years or whatever else, and saving yourself even more money this year And now you give up a little bit for the next 2 years after that that you wouldn't have to pay. But if it's all about saving money this year, then maybe you do that too. If you decide you don't need John Lure on this team, and I don't think they really need John Lure on this team, so that might be a way they go. Or we'll talk with Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at 2:48. You know, he on Twitter last night was saying, hey, guys, this may be something that leads into something else even bigger that we aren't talking about or we don't know about yet. That this may be leading to something else where maybe Lure gets flipped again or somebody else gets moved. Because remember, they were trying to move, according to reports, Snell and Ursa, one or the other with a draft pick. Well, last time I checked, Ersan Ilyasova is still on this roster.
Yep. So with $7 million for next year.
Right. So does that mean they've stopped trying to move Ursan, or does that mean they're going to try and move Ursan still along with something else? Don't know.
Being able to move the money and stretch it out like you just brought up with similar to the Larry Sanders deal was one thing that I necessarily didn't think of right away. I didn't think that that would be where they would go with the Lure move. I did point to the idea that it could be similar to Stanley Johnson where he gets moved right away in another deal. We'll get into all of that with Matt Velasquez coming up at 2:48 and the latest rumblings that you'll hear all day long. The Bucks will at least select the 30th pick, even though that pick will be traded. The Milwaukee Bucks will have to select the pick, so it could be Bol Bol that gets taken by the Bucks at 30.
Pistons,
you never know.
Selecting it.
Well, no, the Pistons will select it, but the guy will put on the Milwaukee Bucks draft cap.
Correct.
Which really is all that we care about, right? We get a couple of pictures.
It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. You want to know why it's not good? You want to know why?
Can you run through the names?
No, I'll tell you right now. They draft somebody, and he's wearing the Bucks cap, and that dude goes to be an all-star. And it's
that's why I brought up Bol Bol.
And it's a Piston. They're going to be like, psh, unbelievable. Should have had him at 30, but no, had to move Tony Snell's contract. And now look, now you could have had a perennial all-star, and instead now he's somewhere else. Now again, the odds are highly against that happening. At pick 30, you're not trading a pick in the lottery necessarily. But, yeah, I mean, even in the lottery, you've got that number 4 pick that's going to be on the move probably by the end of the night because the Pelicans are trying to move that to get a player and another pick. And the rumor out there was the T-Wolves going from 11 up to 4 and giving up Robert Covington as well to try to get up to 4. To me, that's a steal for the T-Wolves.
I'd do
that
doubt.
Deal every day of the week if I was the T-Wolves, trying to find that other star to play with Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota. Now, can they get Gardner at 4? If he's there, if I'm Minnesota, I offer whatever I need to offer to get up there and have Gardner and Wiggins in my backcourt going forward. And Teague, bye-bye, see you later. You're on the move.
And I'm really excited.
And I don't need Derek Rose back.
I'm really excited to see where a couple of those point guards end up, and we'll talk about that all night long on the Pro Hoops Draft Show. But a team that will make a move, well, hopefully sooner rather than later, Stevie, is the Milwaukee Brewers coming back, licking the wounds after a 2-6 road trip. And it came up on the postgame show the last couple of nights, offensively and also pitching wise for the Brewers, just not being able to get the timely inning where you need a clean shutdown inning, or for the Milwaukee Brewers in the 5-6-7-8 hole pretty much for the last 2 months, it's been being able to get the timely hit from guys like Travis Shaw, Jesus Aguilar not performing, and Eric Thames, outside of having a decent on base percentage, he's hitting below .240, so you can't necessarily keep him out of this conversation as well. And Keston Hira burning a hole in your pocket in .315 down in AAA. How long can the Brewers wait to make a move? If it's Keston Hira, if it's a bullpen arm, if it's a trade, something to at least ignite this group that you have that right now seems to be floundering.
I think if you leave it up to Craig Counsell, Hira will be down there forever. That David Stearns, Matt Arnold have to be the ones that just tell Craig Counsell, too bad, we're moving on from whoever it is. Because Counsell is going to fight for his veterans to the last degree and try and make sure they get every single opportunity, regardless if it's costing them games or not. Because, well, you know, that this organization didn't quit on me and blah, 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 blah. And veterans get, you know, every opportunity no matter what because of track record. But, see, that's the problem is you say because of track record, Aguilar doesn't have one other than for a couple months last year.
Yeah.
So he's the odd man out more than Travis Shaw is. If we're going on track record, other than Aguilar being an all-star last year, then he is probably the odd guy out. I just think somebody's going to end up on the IL, and that's how you're going to get Keston Hira back up here. I still think that's going to happen. They're going to do everything in their power not to cut Aguilar or Shaw all year, one way or the other. And if that doesn't work, then Aguilar will have a back spasm, or Shaw will have something going on with him, something you can't prove. Look, if you've got a back spasm, who's to say you're telling me the truth or not? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
very
can't
true.
Give an x-ray to know if you have back spasms
Same
or not.
Same with the wrist pain.
It's right. It's just you're telling me you have it, so I got to take you at your word for it. So if anybody want to come snooping around seeing if we're telling the truth or not, well, good luck. I mean, unless you've got a recorded conversation between two people, you're not going to prove anything. Not saying that they would do anything like that, but just in general, when you start talking about injuries that, you know, can be there one day and gone the next, I mean, stuff like that is easily done.
All across Major League Baseball, teams do that. Look at Yolish Chacin, lower back soreness. That's something that you can't necessarily track. And he goes down and misses three starts and comes back and isn't necessarily to form because he wasn't in form all year long. And
nothing changed.
And it's the same philosophy that we brought up the last couple of weeks where you banked on so many if-come-maybes in that starting rotation that right now I think the flaws in your offense are being showcased a little bit more because the nights when you do have a good pitching performance, when you only allow two runs in San Diego, that's the night your offense goes cold and can't score. And this is when these prolonged slumps can get into a danger zone. Stevie, I'm just worried about this road trip coming into a four-game set against a team that's hot, that's wanted to get at you for so long in the Cincinnati Reds. This feels right now like it has the makings that it could be like that Pittsburgh series last year, where like it gets to the bottom barrel of where you're at, six games over 500, and you really got to start digging your way back to try to get to where you were of 11 games over.
No, I don't see that. I don't.
You're not worried at all about the Reds walking in.
I think Brewers could win three out of four in this series.
I think they can too. I'm just concerned about it.
I think this might be where your bats get come alive a little bit here. You know, and you're back at home in this dome. Reds pitchers obviously have done better than they have in the past, and we know
third ERA in baseball,
and we know why that is. But regardless,
Alex Wood, pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No Homer Bailey helps too.
Yeah, well, that definitely helps. You're right. But see, that's just it. If you look at this offensive lineup, and you sit there and you have the conversation of, okay, so every night, who can you count on to give you good at bats? Tell me who it is.
Mike Moustakas.
One.
Christian Yelich.
Two.
I'm going to put Lorenzo Cain still in there, even though he hasn't produced at that rate. He's still giving you quality at bats, hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, fourth unluckiest guy in baseball, according to Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. So that's three.
85% of the time, Ryan Braun.
I agree.
Outside of when he swings at everything, believing it's all fastballs. And then Brandon Woodruff. He has Monty Grandal as well, as he's third.
Yeah,
he's
got a guy in Grandal.
Yep.
Right. So you got five guys. Right. So five out of eight guys in your lineup, you have a lot of confidence in.
Mm-hmm.
You have no confidence at first. You have no confidence at second. And unless it's a big clutch situation, I don't have much confidence in Arcia. Okay?
True.
In clutch situations, I have a lot more confidence in Orlando Arcia that he'll come up and figure out a way to do something spectacular. For whatever the reason, he's got that clutch gene, it appears, the last couple years. Keston Hiura at second base would help to fix so many problems. It just would. And defensively, I know he's not the best in the whole wide world. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he is. He's not. But the bat and what he can give you offensively is huge. You talk about Kane, Yelich, Braun, those three. Fine. Then you're talking about Grandal and Moustakas after that as far as who's batting four, who's batting five. Mm-hmm. Moustakas is batting four throughout the year. Now they got Grandal batting four, and Moustakas is batting five, and Council's been trying to figure out where he wants to go. And then after that, then it's not so good. It's Perez, Thames, Aguilar, Arcia. None of that is good. None of it. But if I can get Keston Hiura sandwiched between Moustakas and Grandal, or between Braun and Moustakas or Grandal, or Hiura batting three behind Yelich, and Braun now is your four hitter, and then Grandal and Moustakas. It's just, I'm sorry, it's so much better. And me personally, Keston Hiura is my three hitter. That's who my three hitter is. I don't care how much pressure there is. Doesn't matter to me. He's batting three. And then Braun, who you said yesterday still has clutch in him. I don't know if I agree necessarily, but so if you believe Braun still has clutch in him, then there's your four-hitter, and then Grandal or Moustakas, and then the other one. And now you are legitimately six deep at that point, and you still have no first baseman or shortstop. Arcia is batting eight, and then whatever you're going to do at first base going forward, whether that's Shaw, Aguilar, or Thames.
Or Braun.
But I just don't see that.
That's another one that hasn't been brought into this. And Spargy, on the other side, there's a reason to the Keston Hira defense not being an issue for the Brewers. They've set that precedent for us. But the bat, you're right. I was trying to hold back and want to let Travis Shaw get this opportunity, but it appears that, to your point, Craig Counsell wants him on this team, but the opportunity just really hasn't been vast for Travis Shaw. We'll talk about that next. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. How long can you wait to make a move if you're the Milwaukee Brewers? It can
be
Keston Hira. Any move. It can be something in that bullpen because, once again, you're in such desperate need of somebody to allow Josh Hader to be that guy and just be a lightning rod whenever you need him. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll talk to Adam McAlvey in the 4 o'clock hour as well. How long can the Brewers wait to make a move? 414-799-1250. It's a throwback Thursday today. We got Summerfest tickets for you. Motley Crue bringing us back from the breaks on the Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on a throwback Thursday, live from the Q Club of Wisconsin. 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. We'll be out here all night long with the Pro Hoops draft party starting at 6 after the Wendy's Big Show. Myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Nice to meet you. Appreciate you listening to us. I'll be joined by Ryan Horvath, producer of Chuck and Winkler.
You're
here
not
on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're not going to be making bets on every pick before it happens, are you? You two gambling
junkies. I can't confirm or deny that there won't be a couple of skins games.
Yeah.
But it won't be as last year. Mike Maxey kept us from doing it quite a bit. Like,
yeah.
Because Maxey would bring something up and we'd look at each other like, nah, man, I kind of think it could be the kid from UNC. And,
right.
And then I could see the wheels turning in Horvath's mind. Like, hey, I don't know. I could throw five or a dime on this.
Pretty
and
sure.
So we'll hold back a little bit, but. Yeah, I can't confirm or deny we won't throw anything down, especially where Coby White goes. I think he might be one of the most dynamic players in the draft that not a whole lot of people are talking about with the ability to catch and shoot and move off the dribble. We'll get into a lot more of that coming up at 6 o'clock and players that are going to be changing the NBA as it always changes in the NBA draft. 414-799-1250 right now. Talking about your Milwaukee Brewers and when do they need to make a change. How long can you wait to make a move? And Sparky, Keston Hira at second base, not necessarily defensive liability. I wouldn't stretch it to that realm, but he needs obvious work at second base.
He just needs to be average.
This team was open to having two guys that had never played second base at the major league level,
yep,
or in the minor league level last year in the heat of a pennant race,
yep,
entrusting them to be second basemen. So mm-hmm. With that in
Preach.
Mind... You can't make that the reason you're not going to put Keston Hira back up here. And if it is going to be an at-bats thing and you want to allow Travis Shaw to work out of the slump or get into the second season that he was excited to get underway, he's only got 6 hits since he's come back up here. And he's only had a hand, maybe 36, 40 at-bats in that run as well. So if you're going to give this dude an opportunity to figure something out, I almost feel like you're doing Travis Shaw a disservice right now in how you're using him because you're not allowing him to get that repetitive run in the lineup day in and day out and get himself into a mind or a headspace where he believes that he is going to be able to give you a quality at bat seemingly every other time out of the lineup. It's too scattered for him and Jesus Aguilar in the same vein, who barely should have been in the lineup yesterday. If you're looking at a left-handed pitcher, those are the days that Jesus Aguilar should be manning first base.
You'd think.
There's just not a whole lot of opportunities for these guys to get on the field, especially when you're putting HP out there hitting 235 at second base, too.
But they'll tell you, or they were telling you last week, but Perez is hitting like 298 against righties.
I know, and
so
I want HP to do so well.
That's the deal. But do you think... Now, tell me if you think this is a possibility. Do you think it's a possibility that he's just a bench guy? Do you think it's a possibility that his role in Major League Baseball is just that super utility guy that can play everywhere and come off the bench and fill in.
Perez?
Yeah,
absolutely.
But he's not necessarily an everyday player at a position.
Yep.
That's where I'm at.
Yep, I think that's settled in.
So we agree.
For sure, yeah.
Okay. So if that's settled in, you know he is not the long-term replacement for the rest of the season at second base. If Travis Shaw can't figure this out, and he has an option left, I believe, then why not just send him down? Why not? If you don't want to cut anybody and you don't want to lose years of control because of that, Travis Shaw has an option. Then you send him down. He's not going to be happy about it.
Not at all.
But he can't defend it.
No. And I was wondering in the vein, Sparky, if they would want to hold off on Shaw being the move to try to keep the righty-lefty balance, because they are already so left-handed heavy, though, in that lineup. So if you're going to pull one out, it would make more sense for it to be Travis Shaw.
We have a suggestion on Twitter from Tavern WI Sports.
Okay.
Here's his suggested lineup. Leading off, Keston Hira.
Okay.
Batting second, Christian Yelich.
Like it.
Yaz batting third.
Okay.
Moose cleaning up.
Sure.
Braun or Gamble batting fifth.
Braun.
Kane all the way down to six.
Okay.
Seven, Thames or Aggie. Eight, Dubon or Perez.
Where's Orlando Arcia?
See ya.
Oh, come on.
It's been real.
Oh, wow. Already with Orlando Arcia? Really?
I've been ready to move on to Dubon for a while, so I'm not going to sit here and argue with Tavern WI Sports on this one. And again, Arcia, good defender. Not as good this year as he's been in previous years, but good defender's got a little bit of clutch in him. But Dubon can hit, can defend. Yeah, I mean, I think Arcia could go, but I don't know how much value he really has at this point if you are going to try a trade.
No,
Orlando Arcia.
Especially because he's hitting below his baseball card too, Stevie. I mean, he's right there at
almost. He has a baseball card?
Yeah, they have some. Oh, yeah, they have Orlando Arcia baseball
cards.
He's in
the set?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Tops 19 just released
really?
Him. Yep. Oh. And I believe they even have Orlando Arcia jersey cards.
No, as crazy as that might be, you play in the playoffs,
you're going to get at least one or two jersey cards.
He might be exaggerating a little bit now. I mean, I'll go with you on the baseball card. The jersey card,
We got to look up how much an Orlando Arcia rookie card goes for on the secondary market right now.
I'll say $3.
I'd say four and a half. Maybe. There could be somebody that really is interested in Orlando Arcia rookie card and is just dicing over the fact of it. But he's hitting 15 points lower than his average of about 250 in his career. The power numbers have been a little bit better, but I don't know how much longer you're waiting to know what Orlando Arcia is for his career. He's only played in 400 games, but he's getting close to that 1,500 at-bat mark. So I'm really excited for Mauricio Dubon, too. I think he's going to be a really good Major League player. But if you're going with two dudes in the middle infield, Stevie, in the heat of a pennant race, that doesn't scare you at all?
No. No, why?
Not even a little bit?
Well, what scares you?
Two young guys, inexperienced.
Why do you worry so much about this thing for?
It's weird, because I'm the young guy.
Here you go. Orlando Arcia, $131 for 2014 Bowman Prospects Chrome card.
Oh, wow.
2014 Bowman Prospects Chrome Green Refractor, 9526.
There's no way.
Let's see here. What else do we got? Orlando Arcia, $141, 2015 Bowman's Best.
Oh, and that's an autograph card, too. Look at Arcia here. There's the jersey.
Where?
Oh, that's a Keston Hira jersey card. Never mind. Oh, my bad. Okay. Well, okay. So they have Keston Hira jersey cards, and they don't have Orlando
Arcia. I just don't see it.
Maybe that is telling.
I don't care how great the card is. If you think I'm paying you $100 for an Orlando Arcia card, you've got another thing coming. You have got another thing coming. You ought to pay me $100 just to look at it.
I've never understood that. How that kind of money gets thrown around in some of these baseball cards. It's beyond me. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not like it's a Tom Brady rookie card I'm buying. I'm buying an Orlando Arcia. He's hitting 236 in his second year.
Well, what the hell? So what does the Cheaters rookie card go for then?
Cheater is Ryan Braun in Steve Sparky Pfeiffer dialect. 414-799-1250. How long can you wait to make a move right now? While we look up the Ryan Braun rookie card, Anthony Mandela back in the fan studios. We're out here at the Radio.com mobile studios at the Q Club of Wisconsin with the Wendy's Big Show. Throwback Thursday, Anthony. Who is your nominee for a Throwback Thursday? Motley Crue, I believe, a listener campaign winning, so I'll throw it back to you first.
All righty. We're going to go with Eminem.
All right. I can do a little bit of that. Marshall Mathers plays for me. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Yeah, he Ryan Braun, by the way, average is like $150 for a rookie card. He's got one that's at $251, another one at $230. So, yeah, Ryan Braun, rookie cards, you can get some, but they've got to be specific, obviously, type of cards. A standard card is
I got no money, so I can't.
So either way.
Pull any of that out.
So Eminem was the listener campaign?
That was Anthony Mandela's nominee, oh. Motley Crue, the listener campaign winning last week. Does he go for New Kids on the Block for a second consecutive week?
No. I'm not going to do that. I'll go with Megadeth, since the lead singer has throat cancer, I guess.
I'm sorry, that's not what... That's not a laughing matter.
Good old KS tweeted us yesterday because I said they got cancer, remember? A good old KS said that's because the lead singer has throat cancer or something.
Okay.
So I said, all right, makes sense.
For sure.
So, all right. So, Megadeth.
So throw him a bone. Megadeth.
Pretty
okay.
Sure. I don't know. Two or three songs, but.
Eminem, Megadeth, and I'll go with Neil Diamond, one of my all-time favorites.
Aren't those three very different
selections? Right? Those are an interesting lineup that you have. Go with one of those or one of your own. Use the hashtag BigThrowback at 105.7FM The Fan on Twitter for a Throwback Thursday. Have your voice heard. We have Summerfest tickets to give away today. We're live at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Matt Velasquez joins us inside this hour. We'll be back well before that here, Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. From the Radio.com Sports Mobile Studios at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show here. It's the Pro Hoops draft show tonight. Q Club of Wisconsin starting at 6.
World According to Sparky podcast. Prices rising again at Disney World.
What?
Annual pass is going up $150 to $200 a pop. Dude, that's not cheap.
Wait, an annual pass?
An annual pass. So, like, you know, like a season pass, like Six Flags or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an annual pass. And you can buy different tiers or whatever, in-state or out-of-state.
Oh, trust me, I've been informed.
Right, so those are being raised. Parking prices have been raised, all this stuff. Now, part of it is because you got Star Wars Land getting ready to open up here next month.
How are they raising the prices? Stuff. Aren't they like $800 already?
No. This is for the annual pass, not for the individual ticket. So an annual pass gets you into the parks throughout the year.
Right. Isn't that like $800?
No, what? The annual pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that area. And now they've raised it like $200 a park.
Oh, my goodness.
Like that. Yeah. So now it's like $1,100 or $1,200 now, something like that. Yeah. So we got all that big discussion about them raising price and so forth. So that podcast is up at 105.7FMTheFan.com. And we recorded a new podcast last night that'll be up next week with Andy Spitzer. Who's always on the podcast with me and Kay, and a friend of ours, Steve, who is a parent of one of the kids on the Junior Knights baseball team that Logan plays on, and talking about his experience at Universal Studios last week. And then we compare and contrast Universal Studios and what they do versus Disney World, let's say. And Andy Spitzer gets very, very bitter. Very bitter before the end of the podcast.
Why?
Oh, it gets
Does he
very
not like
bitter.
Universal?
It's very bitter.
I feel like it's like a Venn bitter. Diagram. Like there's going to be some overlap in the middle of some good stuff.
Yeah, it's a much longer podcast than we've ever done. Because there was a lot of discussions and things going on.
You guys were there just about the time we wrapped up the baseball show last night.
We were still in there. I was throwing my hands up in the air and getting all emotional during points during the podcast and everything.
Did the vein come out at all?
Yes, for sure.
Oh, now we're talking.
Couple times. Yeah, a couple times. Me and Andy going back and forth. So, yeah, it'll be good. I'll be up next week.
And if everybody heard our conversation about Andy Spitzer the other day about Gary Ellerson and Andy Spitzer's first encounter, you're going to want to know that because Andy Spitzer is an interesting cat. A good dude.
Andy.
Awesome dude.
Yep.
Wendy's Big Show here at the Q Club of Wisconsin. And the Milwaukee Bucks, we'll talk a little bit more about their draft night with Matt Velasquez coming up here at 248. And I say draft night because, Sparky, it's really one of those – it's a calling card night in the NBA, but I've had such an issue with how the NBA has done this draft for so long that I think I've gotten soured on it to an extent. How on earth are we doing the NBA draft before free agency? How are you drafting players and prospects to fit into your organization before your organization is concrete? Because free agency runs the NBA.
Hey, Billy, tell me this. Who won the MVP?
Yeah. That's right. No, we don't know.
We don't know until Monday. Monday's the award show. You're having your draft for next year, and you haven't even announced the awards for this year yet. You haven't technically really finished the season with awards and all that other stuff, and you're doing it now this way. So, first of all, that's jacked up.
Super dumb.
Right. Second of all, I agree with you, and I've been saying this for years. So, how this should play out, and it doesn't, how this should play out is free agency should still be relatively in the same area, right?
I like it at July 1st.
Okay, so you do your free agency to like July 15th, July 16th.
Sure.
Give everybody 2-3 weeks to get into it. Towards the end of July, now we have our draft, right? So now you've extended momentum with every – because in July, I understand you have All-Star break and all that other stuff, right? But you have all of that going on. So actually, you could move back. I take that back. If you move back free agency a week, let's say, right? So let's say free agency would have started this last Monday instead.
Okay.
This last Monday.
I get what you're saying.
So now free agency starts there and goes all the way up. Now we get to baseball's All-Star break, and we got days with nothing going on. NBA draft, whoop,
slotted right in.
Right in to after the All-Star
game. Instead of Vegas Summer League.
Right, okay. So that slides right in. Vegas Summer League still holds, but now it moves to the end of July. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes middle of July is the draft. 2-3 weeks later, boom, you're in right before the NFL preseason kicks off. So you take over that, and then exhibition play starts in September, and away you go.
Yeah, and frankly, you're still giving the guys a good 6 weeks off before they come back in for training camp.
NBA draft, where you have everybody's attention with no baseball on, makes all the sense in the world. Because you know what's going to happen tonight? NBA draft's going to be on, and everybody's going to be watching the Brewers.
Oh, for sure. And
that's
also
what's going to happen. But if the NBA draft was on,
Diamondbacks fans are going to be doing the same thing.
Right. If the NBA draft was on and there was no baseball on and there's no hockey in July and there's no football, that's the only show on, right? That's how you do it, NBA. You control one whole night. You control the whole lead up because, you know, doing sports talk radio during that time frame, those 3 or 4 days, it can be a struggle trying to figure out what the heck you're going to talk about waiting to get to the next game.
People talk a lot of gambling during that time.
Right, waiting to get to the next game. You're reaching, trying to get to Packers training camp, trying to get to that point, trying to figure out if there's any trade rumors for the Brewers you can pull in to do for topics. You're kind of reaching in that area. Now the draft can run pretty much that whole day and really get 100% attention from everybody across the country.
For Adam Silver being regarded as such a genius as a commissioner, there's so many issues that this league just does not want to address that it's starting to get a little frustrating to me. And that is number one, two, and three. The free agency is so good in the NBA. How would you not want it quicker? Oh, well. Anyway, we'll talk to Matt Velasquez. He'll be all over NBA free agency. You can follow Matt _Velasquez on Twitter. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Bucks beat writer joins us next on the Wendy's Big Show. It's a Throwback Thursday live from the Q Club of Wisconsin. You want to get your voice heard on a Throwback Thursday? Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan. Use the hashtag Big Throwback. Our nominees: Megadeth, Eminem, and Neil Diamond. Go with one of those or one of your own. Use the hashtag Big Throwback at 105.7FM. The Fan on Twitter. U.S. still up 1-0 over Sweden. Sparky,
they don't look good.
We're getting to almost halftime. What? They're winning.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, they don't look so good. They don't sloppy passing and stuff. They look all that great.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what a crisp soccer game looks like in comparable to a dirty soccer game. So this looks good to me. It's exciting. They're running up and down the field. Right? That's pretty much what you do.
Yeah.
There's no way I could. That's way too much running. Matt Velasquez, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joins us next when he's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Wendy's Big Show live from the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. We'll be here tonight for the Pro Hoops Draft Party. Come on out and join us. We've got specials all night long. Beer specials, drink specials, food specials. What's better than that? Food, drinks, and sports. That's what we do at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Joining us right now, he covers your Milwaukee Bucks for the Journal Sentinel. Matt underscore Velasquez on Twitter. He joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Matt, appreciate the time here on draft day. First off, your reactions last night to John Luehr being brought in for the 30th pick, as well as Tony Snell. I saw you on Twitter mention that this could be the start of maybe something bigger tonight for Bucks fans.
Yeah, I guess my first reaction was like, eh. And then my second reaction was, there's got to be more than this, or maybe there is more than this. Let me wait for more information.
Your reaction was the same as mine then. Eh.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just exactly one of those, right. Like, okay, like let's see like what else there is. Because the last two times the Bucks had made a trade, we thought the trade was something, but was one thing, and it was very quickly something else. You know, we thought the Bucks were getting Sam Decker back in December, and that didn't happen. It was just a trade for George Hill and Jason Smith, and we're like, okay, well, we'll see what happens with that. And then, you know, we thought that the Bucks trained Don Maker for Stanley Johnson, and then a day later, it was like, oh, wait a second, that's just a piece of getting Nikola Mirotic. So, you know, I think that until this trade is finalized, which it can't be, until after the Bucks make their pick tonight, you know, I'm going to kind of hold back my judgment because, you know, I don't know if there could be more to this. Yeah, there are certainly possibilities that there could. I mean, there's possibilities that this could be it. This could be the trade. That could be it. That could be finalized later tonight, and that's just the deal. So I'm going to kind of hold back my full judgment, but for the meantime, so far it's eh.
Okay, so I'm with you on the eh stuff.
I think most of Milwaukee is too. Understandable.
If they keep Luehr, well, if this deal goes down and Luehr is it, do you think they could do a Larry Sanders-type deal where they cut him and stretch that deal out over the course of time?
They could. I mean, the way the stretch provision works is that you can stretch somebody for twice the number of years that they have left plus one. So they'd be stretching him for 3 years. They'd be paying him about 3.1-ish, 3.2 million dollars each of this year and each of the next two. That's usually the last case scenario for teams. Nobody wants to just eat money and just have to, you know, let it go like that. You want to see if you can get something in return for that player, whether that's, you know, right now or if it's later in the season. But generally the reason why the Bucks are doing this deal or, you know, have this agreement in place is because they're trying to open up salary cap space. You know, and a lot of that has to do with Brook Lopez. He's somebody who is a huge part of what they did last year. The Bucks want him back. He wants to be back. But there's also the, you know, the idea of having to pay him fairly. And I think the Bucks want to do that. I think he deserves to get a raise over what he got last year when he was probably the most valuable, you know, contract in the league. And so, you know, finding a way to get him paid, treat him fairly, and get him back, that's important. And maybe even opening up enough salary cap space to bring back George Hill, too. You know, these are things that the Bucks are trying to figure out. And that's, you know, why, even though it's only a couple million dollars, you know, for this season, you know, bringing in Luehr for Snell in the 30th pick, that's the kind of stuff that can maybe give them the edge, depending on how much money those other guys want. And stretching Luehr might even open up that cap a little bit further and allow them to bring one or both of those guys back or even somebody else.
Matt, what is your expectation and what are you hearing on the proposed offer sheets that you expect Malcolm Brogdon to get? Adrian Wojnarowski saying that he expects the Bucks are able and prepared to be able to match somewhere around $17, $18 million, but it could get up to north of $20 million. Where are you hearing that the expectation for Malcolm's offer sheet would come in?
I mean, I'm not hearing anything different than that. I think the expectation would be that it would be somewhere in that range, or at least it could get to that high. I think with Brogdon, obviously there's an injury history that he has. You know, obviously the hamstring or the I forget exactly what it was, the hamstring tendon or the quad tendon that he had two seasons ago. That's kind of maybe more of a freak thing, but the plantar fascia is a consistent thing that he has dealt with in the past. So maybe teams might be worried about that, and some teams might just say, you know what, we have money to burn, and we're going to take a chance because this guy had a bad plantar fascia for most of the season. It was still 50-40-90, came back in the playoffs, and was great.
Gary Ellerson just texted me and said that Four Letter Network is reporting the Bulls are the front runner for Brogdon, and reportedly they think it's going to be 4 years and $80 million.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years, $80 million. You know, that could be a reasonable offer that some team puts out there.
And but is that something the Bucks would want to match at that high a price?
I think that the question is, you know, what would they get if they don't? I mean, he's somebody who they have his bird rights. They have the ability to re-sign him and bring him back. And all it would really cost them is money. And so you'd have to say, all right, are we willing to go that far into the cap, that far maybe into the luxury tax to bring Bogdan back at that price tag? You know, because you're not really going to get anybody else. You know, his cap hold is so low, you're not going to be able to sign anybody else other than a minimum player. You know, and if you have Bogdan at that contract, then, you know, at least in the future, if he does play well, you'd be able to sign, you know, maybe trade him and get some value back. Or you could just hold on to him, you know, and maybe that deal is actually, you know, comes out as better. Obviously, there's a risk that maybe he gets hurt, maybe his play regresses, maybe he, you know, has reached his peak and he
all of that
doesn't perform to that level. But if you're the Bucks and you're trying to win now, I think some of those are long-term problems that you need to just kind of deal with, because the alternative is you don't have Malcolm Brogdon and you don't have anyone else.
See, and that, to me, right, what he just said right there, Billy, is 100% true, and everybody better understand this right now.
Yeah.
Because all these long-term contracts they're going to get in bed with, whether it's Lopez, Brogdon, Middleton, Bledsoe, they're all long-term deals. This isn't go for it for a year and then wash our hands and then start over with new deals. You're getting in long-term. So if the chemistry on this team goes sideways, you're stuck. If injuries beset this team, you're stuck. I mean, you're just stuck.
Ceiling is on this team, and this is the ceiling of 60 wins in an Eastern Conference final.
I don't think there's a ceiling yet, because I don't think Giannis has reached his ceiling yet, I guess is where I'm at on that. Let's talk about Chris Middleton a little bit, Matt. We were talking about, you know, everybody seems to think he's going to get close to the max money. It'll probably be with the Bucks 5 years or whatever the number is, but it's going to be over $30 million based on everything we've seen. I said yesterday that it's setting up for him to be the villain of Milwaukee going forward if and when he signs this contract, mainly because having lived here all my life, I know how this works, that once you sign that huge contract, everybody expects you to play better than what you've played. And if you're going to give him a contract similar to what other star players in this league are getting, and he's going to average 18 to 20 points a night and not be there all the time in the playoffs, this Southeastern Wisconsin and state of Wisconsin, he's going to be villain number one on this team if they don't win a title.
Well, I mean, I guess that might just come with the territory. You want to make the money, you have the max contract, then that's just going to be what it is. He's kind of like Brogdon in the sense that I just haven't heard an argument for who the Bucks could bring in that would replace Middleton.
They're stuck.
Salary cap space.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're going to have to figure that out. And, you know, if you don't want to pay him, that's fine. But another team will. Another team will have money, will be willing to pay the max. You know, the thing about the NBA is that, you know, and this might be the case with other sports leagues too, but definitely in the NBA, it all just comes down to who is a free agent at what time. There were a bunch of guys a couple summers ago, and the cap really spiked. They got paid a ton of money. You know, contracts don't look good. I remember, you know, Deli came in that summer. He was one of those guys. And, you know, he was a free agent at the right time, and he was getting paid a bunch more than some other point guards that were better than him just because he was a free agent. That's not his fault. And so Chris Middleton is a free agent at this time. There is a bunch of money out there. There are a bunch of teams with max space, and there's not enough players to fill them. And so teams are eventually just going to say, you know what, we missed out on X guy and Y guy and Z guy. We're going to bring him in because you can't just find a 6'8", 3-and-D guy just lounging around. You can't just find those guys. So, you know, yes, like if the Bucks don't perform well, if Middleton doesn't play well on that contract, if the Bucks fall short of a title, like, you know, he's going to get some scorn. He's been getting scorn anyway. You know, he was on a pretty team-friendly deal already, and when the Bucks didn't play well, you know, he was often a guy that the fans say, oh, this guy, you know,
no
he
doubt.
Can't be the number two, or well, why does he think he can get paid? You know, that's already been how it is. And so, you know, I get it. I think that's reasonably fair. I think, you know, that's going to happen, but I just don't know what the alternative is.
Matt, I put him right behind Aaron Rodgers as most polarizing players in Milwaukee sports, because you look at a guy, like you said, when even the Bucks would play well, at $14, $13 million, that's a rather team-friendly contract for a guy that was at an all-star game. I want to shift to Brooke Lopez, and I know you mentioned him in your first answer, Matt, but what do you feel is going to be the number that you're going to be able to get a Brooke Lopez back here at? I heard reports, Jordan Brenner of The Athletic had in a piece that he thought a Nikola Mirotic deal could be around $12, $13 million, and that makes me wonder where Brooke's going to slot in.
Yeah, I think Brooke, it could be anywhere between $12 and $15 a year. You know, you wonder if maybe he's willing to take more years, so maybe take 4 years instead of three, in order to have longer-term stability, but take maybe slightly less per year because he likes the fit, he likes the situation, he feels appreciated, and he just wants to have that fourth year. You know, sometimes players just want to have the longer contract. And so, I would think he'd be somewhere in there. And based off of what John Horst has said publicly, he met with the media yesterday. You know, he made it seem pretty clear that, you know, they're going to find a way to get Brooke Lopez back. He is a priority for them. And that, you know, they're going to figure out what that number needs to be and figure out, okay, how are we going to get to that number? Because he has been a hugely important part of what they did last year, and they believe he can continue to play that role going forward.
I got something for you. So do you think, as Billy is here tonight at Q Club of Wisconsin, along with Ryan Horvath, and they're doing the draft show tonight, and there's no Bucks pick, and they're going through all the teams, that at some point the Bucks might pop up on TV and trade themselves into the second round to make a pick for an end-of-the-bench player, or do you think they're going to be at home with some popcorn watching the draft themselves?
You know, I've been having this debate myself because I could see them. You know, you can buy a second round pick.
Yep.
You know, the Hawks just sold one. I can't remember if they bought or sold, but then he worked it out. It was like $1.8 million. You know, the most you can spend is three. This is different money than the salary cap. But at the same time, like, you know, this is money that the team, the franchise, the owners are spending. And so the question is, you know, if they're potentially going to go into the luxury tax, do they want to spend extra money on top of that on somebody who is going to be a minimum contract second round pick? You know, and I could hear both sides. Like, yes, you do want to bring somebody in because that person is cheaper than anybody else you could bring in, unless you bring in an undrafted free agent. But you would assume that this player would be better. Not always true, but you would believe that. You know, but at the same time, it's like, well, why don't we just wait, save our cap space, not have it committed to anything? And then maybe we'll scour the undrafted free agents, maybe try and find a Fred VanVleet kind of guy and get him on a minimum contract and go from there. So I can see both sides of it. I'll be watching for that, and I think there is a chance for it. It's not like they're just going to twiddle their thumbs and just let the whole second round go. I think there will be discussions about that, but
why not?
Why not get back in?
Ditka sold his whole draft to the Saints. Sold his whole draft from the Saints to get Ricky Williams, and the next day I was out smoking a cigar and on the golf course or whatever while the rest of the draft was playing out. What's the problem? I really don't get it. I mean, they could all come down here to Q Club of Wisconsin, hang out with Billy and Ryan,
no doubt,
have some shots, and watch what happens in the NBA. There's no need for them to be there.
Oh, we would be ripping them.
Yeah, I think you keep an eye out, see if anybody's trying to get off a pick. There's a bunch of teams that have too many second round picks that are going to be trying to move them. They may not be trying to get, you know, top dollar necessarily. I think Philly has like four picks. Sacramento has three. One of them is the Bucks pick. So, you know, there's a bunch of teams out there that have picks that may not have, you know, ways to use them. So maybe you can jump in there and find somebody who's valuable to you that maybe you can put on a two-way contract or be able to stash somewhere out in Europe and not have to worry about them on your salary cap. And you can kind of just go from there. So there could be value in getting back in. It just depends on what the cost is and whether they feel like they could find the right guy.
Well, Matt, if you get some information that they're just going to sit on their hands to, why don't you come out to the Q Club of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And we'll do that. We'll have some food, rip some shots, and lay one on. It'll be a good time.
That all sounds fantastic. I'd love to take you up on that. If I get that information, I'll just file whatever story I got. I'll head right over.
Perfect. Beautiful. Matt underscore Velasquez on Twitter. He writes for the Journal Sentinel, follows your Milwaukee Bucks all year long. Matt, really appreciate it, man, and we'll be following along tonight.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. That would be awesome. I hope maybe John Horst just heard what we talked about and says, you know what, that does sound like a good time. Baby Tyler's a cool dude. I remember when he was doing laundry for the Bucks, and I would yell at him when he was shooting a couple of half-court shots. Maybe I'll come down, rip a couple of shots with him, and then maybe 50, 52 comes in, and we'll call up the Golden State Warriors and buy back in.
No.
You don't think there's a possibility of that?
No, I think there's a possibility that they could get into the second round and draft somebody and make things interesting. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't. I'm good.
Okay, like, you wouldn't
if you're,
get back
if you're, if you're trying to go win something, I don't need somebody at the end of the bench. Look, I got a young guy in E.J. Wilson, I'm trying to get better. I got a young guy in Sterling Brown, I'm trying to get better, right? So if you believe that those young guys are going to take a step, then you're good. You're good.
For sure.
George Hill, you should have George Hill back. You're all right there from that standpoint.
Hopefully Dante can play next year.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I don't really think they need to go do anything in the second round. Like I said, just turn off the lights and come have a couple beverages.
But are you happy about that? Like, I want to get that answer from you next. Because you've been doing this for so long. You've been doing this Pro Hoops Draft Show tonight that I'll be doing with Ryan Horvath here at the Q Club of Wisconsin. And this was always an exciting time for Bucks fans. Bucks fans, are you happy that this draft means so little tonight? 414-799-1250. We'll discuss on the other side. Wendy's Big Show out here at the Q Club of Wisconsin inside the radio.com sports mobile studios at the Q Club of Wisconsin on a throwback Thursday. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.